Wake up with Power FM's Brad and Hutsy.
Cricket, just like FIFA, unfortunately, in the subcontinent, has always been surrounded by controversy, Brad. We've heard of match fixing, people, you know, determining outcomes of matches and things like that.
We're above that. And yes, as Australians, we don't cheat when it comes to cricket.
No, we would never do anything like that. Wink, wink. But it's been taken to the next level. I'm actually quite impressed about this. Four con men have been arrested and will probably facing some jail time after staging their own version of the IPL in Gujarat over in India.
What do you mean staging their own version? Well, just out in the backyard, a bit of backyard cricket, and they just went, oh yeah, it's a backyard IPL.
They managed to hire an oval for a couple of weeks. For 2 weeks they had people fooled that it was an actual, like, professional sporting competition. They managed to...
I suppose you have to have the right venue, because if you did do it in the backyard, the minute someone sees a wheelie bin, they're like, hang on, something doesn't seem quite right.
Yes.
Those wickets don't look regulation to me.
And they weren't actually targeting fellow Indians. They were targeting countries that don't know much about cricket.
Right, okay.
So Russians were the ones targeted. They lost around $6,000 in bets.
Mm.
They just hired the local field for a couple of weeks and then just staged their own match as some sort of professional league. And, well, have a listen to how it went down.
A group of local men got together and they set up what's being described by police as a fake cricket tournament. And they played these matches, which were then broadcast on YouTube and opened up to gamblers, to people who wanted to place a bet via the social media app Telegram.
So they streamed this online and Russian people actually thought they were watching a genuine professional level cricket match, but the whole thing was staged.
I mean, let's face it, there are other parts of the world that, you know, like me, struggle to understand cricket and what's going on. So, yeah, if you see someone with a bat in front of wickets at one end and someone bowling a ball at him, you're like, oh, yeah, seems legit to me.
Yeah,
I'll have a punt.
You're probably thinking, to what level was this fixed? Well, everyone was in on it, so much so there was communication between the umpire and people off the field.
They were completely staged. Once the bets came through, the umpires would be given information and they would direct the players to make sure that the matches came through with results that would actually benefit the organisers to make money from this.
Yeah, they're on the walkie-talkie telling them when to score runs, when not to score runs. The whole thing staged for 2 weeks. Unbelievable.
And so these gamblers lost thousands of dollars.
$6,000, they reckon, over the course of a couple of weeks.
Hard to feel sorry for them being Russians.
Yeah, it could have been a lot more, but they literally just grabbed farmers nearby, because it was right near a farm. They grabbed farmers and labourers and just dressed them up in cricket gear and said,
really?
All right, you can play cricket. Like, watching the video, the level was terrible. Like, it was absolutely disgraceful, like barely hitting the ball and stuff. And I'm just thinking, hang on a sec. They even tried to impersonate crowd sounds and stuff. They never showed camera footage of, like, the ball after it had been hit, because then you would have been able to tell straight away it was a very poor ground and it was definitely not up to international standard.
Yeah.
They had canned pictures of just crowds at the IPL and things like that. They had sound effects. And they even tried to impersonate a famous commentator, Harsha Bhogle, who found out, and he just laughed on his Instagram account. The audio is that bad, I can't even play it for you. I thought they should have gone down the route of using, you know, for fake commentators, using a commentator from Shane Warne 99 on the PS1.
Oh, that's gone a long way. That came right off the meat of the bat.
Hang on a sec. And when
he's
it came,
playing old bits of Richie Beno.
Yeah,
and they're like, he's dead. What are you doing?
Surely they should have known when they were all of a sudden doing these play interviews and it sounded a little bit old like this, you know.
And I try and get as many runs as I possibly can. And if in getting those runs I should happen to break any record, well, naturally, I'm very pleased, but I do not deliberately set out to try and break records.
Yeah, that batsman scored the most runs in that two-week tournament. I think his name was Sir Donald Bradman there, commenting on the game. So, yeah, they were arrested. They're in lots of trouble because betting is actually illegal in India. So
is that right? I didn't know that.
They were targeting the overseas market when it came to cricket betting as well. But, yeah, they're in a lot of trouble. Definitely a first for me. This is the first time I've actually heard of cows hanging out at Cow Corner on the cricket field.
Like, literally, yeah.
Power FM's Brad and Hutsy.
Yesterday, I was talking about a report that was detailing how as Australians, and obviously across the world as well, I think about 5 grams of salt was supposed to be our daily intake of salt, apparently, for the most of us. 9 grams is what we've been chucking down when it comes to salt.
Yeah, I mean, we said this yesterday. There's a lot of salt already in your food and condiments. So most of the time, you don't really need to add salt to whatever you're eating sort of thing.
For me, I put salt and pepper on a steak before I put it on the barbecue to season it.
Oh, okay.
And then apart from that, just hot chips. That's it. That's the only thing I actually add salt to. Everything else, no.
My mum's mad for salt. She'll, like, put extra salt on, like, everything. And you, like, you try it, and it's just like...
It's the saltiest thing I've ever tasted. And I once ate a big heaping bowl of salt.
Some people do like to add a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
They do go overboard. For me, I go overboard with maple syrup on pancakes.
That's pretty easy to do.
It's because you pour the syrup on, and then the pancakes are like a sponge, and they suck up the syrup, and you're like, by the time you put the lid back on the maple syrup bottle, you turn around, you're like, where did it go?
Yeah.
It's like there's a sinkhole in my pancakes, and it's sucking up all the syrup. So you got to add more. Before you know it, you've used half a bottle of syrup, and it's all the Canadians' fault.
Blame the Canadians.
It's big maple trying to sell us more syrup by making it so that they get soaked up by the pancakes. I'm on to you, Canada. Yeah. I'm on to you.
We want to know what basically you go overboard with, or someone you know that goes overboard with. I've got a mate who just puts Tabasco on everything.
Yeah.
Hasn't even tried, hasn't even taken a bite of the meal, just gets the Tabasco out and just drowns it in Tabasco.
Really? Before he even tries it?
Yeah.
Choice.
Garlic is another one.
Oh, yeah. We do that with prawns. Use the whole bulb. 1-300-92-1250. Is there something you go overboard with?
Yeah.
Whether it's putting salt on your chips, or maybe, you know, state of origin tonight, maybe you go overboard with, you know, decorating the house and dyeing your hair and all sorts of mad stuff. Call us, 1-300-92-1250. Chris and Malua Bay on the phone. Morning, Chris. What do you go overboard with?
Well, I go overboard with chili sauce.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, but being a chef, I season everything to what I like it.
Yeah.
That's why I have salt and pepper on the tables.
Okay. How hot's this chili sauce you're putting on everything?
Oh, loads.
We're talking like Carolina Reaper or something like that, the real hot stuff?
Yes, I do that. My brother-in-law grows it and love it, but always put it in the freezer and it's not so hot.
Oh, okay. Oh,
okay, so what's
the trick?
Yeah, what's your version of going overboard with the chili sauce? Are we talking like half a bottle here on each serving of food? Are we talking just a couple of dabs or?
Probably about 50 mils of sriracha sauce.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that can be a little bit spicy.
Yes.
I'd imagine your toilet paper bill would be pretty high.
Oh, yeah.
He goes overboard with the sorbent.
I reckon he eats that much sauce with the chili sauce. He's got stashed in his car some extra rolls just in case.
You know me too well.
Power FM's Brad and Hutsy.
Watching the news last night on telly, Hutsy, there was a story about some old beans. And normally when I see old beans on TV, it's the Celebrity Apprentice Australia. It's old has-beens. I'm like, who's that old has-beens? Oh, that's Vince Colosimo. Oh, yeah. Usually I'm trying to identify those. But no, this story was about old coffee beans that had been unearthed in Melbourne, 167-year-old coffee beans.
Is that good? Does coffee get better with age?
No, it does not, sir. No, it does not. Here's how they discovered the beans.
These beans date back to 1855. They were dug up by archaeologists working on the Melbourne Metro Tunnel project in 2018.
Yeah, it was underneath Swanston Street, where they found like an old general store there that it must have had a fire or something.
Mm.
And apparently the fire helped to preserve the beans.
This is amazing.
These are really well-roasted beans. And apparently, like in Pompeii, you know how the lava encased everything and preserved it. Same with these coffee beans.
I was glad to hear it's a general store. I was thinking, so even back then they went through things like now where people were hoarding food just for a rainy day.
Yeah. Well, this was found in the basement. You know, I was surprised. Like, I didn't find like a skeleton of someone wearing a scarf sitting on a milk crate with an espresso cup in their hand, you know, evidence of Melbourne's first coffee wanker. This was just stored beans in the cellar. And along with the beans, there was a whole bunch of other stuff they found as well.
It's Huntley and Palmer's English biscuits and oranges.
And other amazing things like pasta, beans, peas, so rope.
Is that not the most boring archaeological dig you've ever heard of? Mm. You just feel for those archaeologists going, man, I could be digging up dinosaur bones right now.
Yeah.
I could be discovering the new Tyrannosaurus Rex. Instead, I'm digging up 160-year-old pasta. Oh, look, it's bow tie. They had bow tie pasta back then, everyone. How interesting.
We found an old butter knife as well while we're at it.
Can you imagine that? Someone's like, oh, look, I found some old biscuits.
Whoa.
And the archaeologists are like,
that belongs in a museum.
Okay, full Indiana Jones. We got to get this to the nearest museum. How boring.
Well, most times when you go to your nan's house, you find prehistoric biscuits in a tin anyway.
That's right, so. Yeah. They're probably just as hard as nan's biscuits. And this is the thing. You're like, why are we trying to preserve stuff like this? Like, yeah, cool discovery.
Yeah, awesome.
Great. A little glimpse into Melbourne's history, coffee history. But still, you're like, it's just pointless because that's what's going to happen. You're going to put these bits of pasta and biscuits and coffee beans in a museum. What, so the millennials can just walk through the museum and go?
Like, I think it's, you know, sick to see some really old coffee beans.
Oh, it was all worth it, wasn't it?
Power FM's Brad and Hutsy.